Father, I thank you for this new day. I thank you, Lord, for the excitement here. Father, we want to learn more about you each time we come together. So, Father, we open our hearts and our lives to you. We say, have your will and your way in this next half hour. We give you praise for it. We surrender our hearts and our lives to you. In Jesus' name, amen. It's going to take me a while to get there, but go ahead and open your Bibles to the book of Galatians. Some of you said I go too quickly and you can't find it. You're kind of new in where the books are. We start with Matthew, Mark, Luke, John, Acts, Romans, 1st and 2nd Corinthians, and here comes Galatians. Galatians is only 6 chapters long, and I'll be there, but like I say, it's going to take us a while to get there. My title this morning is Religion versus Relationship. Religion refers to a system of beliefs, rituals, and practices that people use to express their faith, while relationship with God is a personal connection with the understanding that we cannot make ourselves right before God through our own efforts. Relationship brings about a desire to walk in accordance with His will for your life and to serve Him because you want to, not because of fear of not measuring up. Christianity is the only religion, don't even like to really call it a religion, but it's the only religion in the world where you are justified by grace through faith in Christ alone. Religion keeps you in chains, but Christ has set us free. I read somewhere the difference between the two. Religion is a man sitting in church thinking about going fishing. And a relationship is a man going fishing and thinking about God. See the man sitting in church? He's doing the right thing, isn't he? But maybe for the wrong reason. You know, I have to come to church, or what's people going to think of me? But no, the person sitting out on the bank, throwing his fishing rod in, he has God with him all the time. That's relationship. Well, see, when we have a relationship with God, He is with you always. And your thoughts are continually on Him, no matter where you are. Whereas religion is your rituals, your customs. And with religion, you know, you can't handle the storms of life. And we all have them. The tough times that we all face. Or deal with the attacks of the enemy. That's why you need that relationship. You know, I longed for something true and authentic in my Christian walk. And I spent many years trying to measure up to what I thought God expected of me. Y'all, most of you know Malin, wonderful guy. But when Russ and I divorced, I wanted a Christian home for my 2-year-old daughter. And it was tough moving back home with mom and dad. And I remember this guy that I used to work with, and people made fun of him because he was so religious. And I thought, I bet you what, I could get that guy. And I bet a coworker $100 that I could be married to him in 6 weeks. And she said, but you're not his type. I said, I can be any type I need to be. And I knew his younger brother and sister, and in a roundabout way, we met 2 days shy of 6 weeks. I got him and $100. But with the marriage, proposal, he said, I would expect you to go to church with me Sunday morning, Sunday night, and Wednesday night. And I thought, that's a small price to pay. So I married for the wrong reasons. I went to church for the wrong reasons. And I had such a hunger for the Lord. And so I did everything I knew to do to be a good wife, a good mother, a good cook, a good everything. And I was the most miserable person that you could ever imagine. I sat in church and I would go forward. The elders would pat me on the back and say, "Dee, you're fine." I wasn't fine. I didn't know how to have a relationship with the Lord. Doing everything right wasn't working for me. And it wasn't until I met a girlfriend that I hadn't seen since high school. And she invited me to a Bible study at her home. Well, I knew her and she knew me. And a Bible study was not something that we would have shared back in school. And I went, and mercy me, this was a gal who knew the Lord intimately. And I went home that afternoon, and I got on my knees beside the bed, and I prayed, and I renewed a relationship with the Lord. And then I picked up a book, because she had suggested a book, and it was Pat Boone's A New Song. And he talked about the baptism of the Holy Spirit and how it changed his life. And I got to the end of the book, and it said, "If you want this experience, all you have to do is pray and believe God, and you will receive the baptism." So I sent Malin to the store to get some ice cream because I didn't know how I would react. I said, "Okay, God, I'm ready." Nothing happened. So I thought, well, that's that. But I was still seeking. I'd read all the scriptures. And then I got a notice in the mail that a couple of weeks, they were having a six-week study on the Holy Spirit held in the basement of the Methodist Church, led by a Catholic priest and a Presbyterian minister. And I thought, wow, what a combination. So we signed up and we went. And at the end of 6 weeks, Father Dean Braun, the Catholic priest, laid hands on me. And instantly I began to pray in my heavenly language and life took on new meaning. I'm glad Pastor is ministering on the Holy Spirit, because in this day and time, that is the what we need to go on. Anyway, I understood from that point on things in the Bible that I had no idea of before. It was like it was reading the word brand new. I felt free for the very first time in my life. Now, most of the books in the New Testament have one current theme. For example, in the book of Ephesians, it deals with the church. In the book of Philippians, count it all joy. The theme in Galatians is grace versus legalism, or as our title this morning, religion versus relationship. Relationship meaning that salvation by faith plus nothing. We quote Ephesians 2, 8 and 9, "For by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast." We know that salvation is not obtained through any self-effort on our part at all, but rather it is received as a free gift from God through faith in Jesus. We read in the Bible that it's not by works which we have done, but according to his mercy, he saved us. That's Titus 3:5. And we accept the truth that our righteousness is as filthy rags in the sight of God. Isaiah 64:6. See, religion is what gets our eyes off of God and onto ourselves. And that's exactly what the devil wants us to do, to start looking at either our own self-righteousness or our own shortcomings and failures. And once we start doing that, he has us trapped. Paul knew this. That's why he wrote this letter to the churches of Galatia. He was concerned that they would not fall victim to legalism because he knew, as he told the Corinthians, that the letter of the law killeth, but the Spirit giveth life. That's 2 Corinthians 3:6. Now, in order to fully understand and appreciate Paul's message to the Galatians, we need to back up a bit and lay the foundation of what had transpired before this letter was penned. Paul was not an apostle to the Jews. He was an apostle to the Gentiles. On his first missionary tour, he and Barnabas went to the area of Galatia, where they saw many people born again. They were filled with the Spirit, they were healed, and they were blessed. They organized these people into churches, they got them started on their Christian walk, and then they left them to minister in other areas. But as soon as Paul and Barnabas had departed, zealous Jews came in to investigate Paul's ministry. When they discovered that the message Paul had preached was grace, salvation through simple faith in Jesus Christ, they immediately began to teach these Gentile converts about the Jewish law. They had never heard of this because Paul hadn't taught them that they were free from the law. Why? Because they were never under the law. So naturally, as soon as the Jewish leaders came in and began to teach them about the law, they began to try to observe it. They started trying to combine the law and grace. Therefore, confusion reigned. But there's a simple principle involved here. You simply cannot please God with your works. Hebrews 11:6, but without faith, it is impossible to please him. For he who comes to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder to those who diligently seek him. Okay, you're into Galatians. Let's start with the first three verses. Paul, an apostle, not from men, nor through man, but through Jesus Christ and God the Father, who raised him from the dead, and all the brethren who are with me, to the churches of Galatia, grace to you and peace from God the Father and our Lord Jesus Christ, who gave himself for our sins, that he might deliver us from this present evil age, according to the will of our God and Father, to whom be glory forever and ever. Amen. Paul gets right into the theme of this book, the grace of God. He points out right from the beginning where grace comes from. It comes from God the Father and from our Lord Jesus Christ. And see, if grace comes from God, then where do the works come from? Well, we know the works come from man. Someone said that Christianity is what God has done for man in Christ, while religion is what man tries to do for God in his own strength. And see, once you understand grace, then you begin to have peace, because that's where peace comes from. Let's go on and let's read verses 6 through 10. Paul says, I marvel that you are turning away so soon from him who called you in the grace of Christ to a different gospel, which is not another, but there are some who trouble you and want to pervert the gospel of Christ. But even if we or an angel from heaven preach any other gospel to you than what we have preached to you, let him be accursed. As we have said before, so now I say again, if anyone preaches any other gospel to you than what you have received, let him be accursed. For do I now persuade men or God? Or do I seek to please men? For if I still please men, I would not be a bondservant of Christ. Okay, let's go on to chapter 3. I'm just giving you bits and pieces. I want you to read the whole book this week. Chapter 3, let's go 1 through 4. Oh, foolish Galatians, who has bewitched you that you should not obey the truth before whose eyes Jesus Christ was clearly portrayed among you as crucified? This only I want to learn from you. Did you receive the Spirit by the works of the law or by the hearing of faith? Are you so foolish, having begun in the Spirit, are you now being made perfect by the flesh? Have you suffered so many things in vain, if indeed it was in vain? You know, people judge, don't they? They judge what we do. I remembered I was just a young teenager, and we had an evangelist that came to our little Christian church that I grew up in. And the evangelist said, how many of you know that if you died and went to died tonight, you would go to heaven? Let's see a show of hands. And I looked around, and one man had his hand up. You would know who it was. It was Lawrence Wright, okay? And then the evangelist said, how many of you would hope that you go to heaven if you died tonight? All the hands go up. And going home, my mom and dad, this was before they became a Christian, discussed, we all know Lawrence Wright. How dare him? My goodness, raised his hand. Don't you remember when he did this, that, and the other? You know? And as a young teenager, I thought, wait a minute, because I'd always had a desire for the Word. I was just young teenage. And because how I grew up, I thought they would laugh at me. I would lay on my stomach, and I would have the Bible on, a friend gave me a Bible, on the bed, and if somebody came in, I could hide it so they wouldn't make fun of me. But I always had an interest. You know, God knows who's going to be His, and it was there. But they made fun because He knew. See, He knew more than the rest of them did. Well, let's go on. Let's go to chapter 5, verses 16 and 18. The purpose of saying that, we know our salvation is secure. Nothing we can add. Chapter 5, 16 and 18. I say then, walk in the Spirit, and you shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. For the flesh lusts against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh. And these are contrary to one another, so that you do not do the things that you wish. But if you are led by the Spirit, you are not under the law. And then it goes ahead. We've talked about that a couple weeks ago. And let's read one more. Let's go to chapter 6, verses 7 through 10. Do not be deceived. God is not mocked. For whatever a man sows, that he will also reap. For he who sows to the flesh will of the flesh reap corruption. But he who sows to the Spirit will of the Spirit reap everlasting life. And let us not grow weary while doing good. For in due season we shall reap if we do not lose heart. Therefore, as we have opportunity, let us do good to all, especially to those who are of the household of faith. See, our salvation is a free gift from God. We don't deserve it. We can't earn it. All we did to receive it was just simply to accept it by faith. In the same way, our spiritual life after salvation is still by grace. We will never deserve it or earn it by our own efforts. It too is a gift received by faith. So does that mean we no longer have to pray or read our Bibles or attend church or give our tithes and offerings? No, we don't need to do that to get a check mark on our good behavior. They won't merit salvation for us. Then why do it? Because we want to, because we love God, and we want to communicate with Him. We want to hear from Him. We want to learn more about Him, serve Him, and have a part in serving others. Any other reason for doing those things? Border on works of the flesh. Some people think they move God by their faith. But honestly, that's not so. God has already moved by His grace. And see, all we do is accept by faith what God has already done. You know, we think our faith moves God. If it was not for His grace, see, He's the one that wooed us to Himself in the beginning. Put it this way, grace is God reaching out toward us, and faith is us reaching out toward God. But God reached out first, and it was only then when we responded and we reached out. See, it's hard for people to receive when they think they have to achieve. But we receive. We don't have to achieve. I guess what I want to convey this morning is that we need to accept what Jesus accomplished on Calvary when He said, "It is finished." He completed the mission. I want to go back to chapter 1 and where it says, I think it's verse 4. Yes. "Who gave Himself for our sins, that He might deliver us from this present evil age, according to the will of God and the Father." The Greek word translated English "for" actually means "in exchange for." Jesus gave Himself in exchange for our sins. See, Jesus became a curse that we might be blessed. He became sin. We received redemption. He became unrighteousness. We became the righteousness of Christ in Him. Yes, He became poor. He left the glory of heaven for us. We became rich in Him. He took all of our sickness and disease, and by His stripes, we are healed. And see, all this took place on Calvary when He said, "It is finished." It was finished. See, that is the truth Paul wants these people to understand right from the onset. And that is what I hope we go away with this morning, learning how to rest in the completed work of Calvary so that we will be free to do the works that we are called to do, all because we love Him and we want to please Him in every way. Pastor and Vince was talking about this guy Tuesday night, and I thought, wait a minute, I have that a book that I probably had for a very long time, and I want to read just a bit. We're almost done. But T.L. Osborne loves to tell about, I'm talking about works now, tells about the old Methodist preacher who used to ask his parishioners, "Has the Lord done anything so good for you that you just can't keep quiet about it?" when God so freely provided for you that you just want to do something for Him? That's witnessing. You want to work for Him. You want to clean the church carpet. You want to sweep the floors. You want to clean the church. You want to take up the offering to serve communion, work in the nursery, teach a Sunday school class, visit the sick, tell others about Him. Not to get a gold star on your name with God's bless me list, but simply because you want to bless others because you have been blessed. That's grace. That's why you work. Once you understand grace, then you will begin to understand peace. Then you can receive God's grace. Then you're in a position to receive His peace. And Bob Yandian shares this. When I was a youth, I was in a church camp with a girl who had been raised on all the do's and don'ts. All her life, she had tried to live by a strict religious code. At camp that year, the leader taught on the theme of our being complete in Christ. He kept hammering away at the fact that if a person is complete, then they can't get any more completer. The more he talked on the subject, the more the girl listened, and the more she became aware of the truth of that message. For the first time in her life, she began to realize that she didn't have to work for holiness, wholeness. She was already complete. She was already whole in her Savior. Finally, she broke down in tears, weeping with joy and relief. "I see it. I see it. It's all God's grace," she sobbed. "I feel like a 10-pound weight has been lifted off my back. I don't have to try to please God anymore. He is already pleased with me." That put a whole different light on it. Now I want to work for Him rather than have to work for Him. The moment she understood grace, peace overwhelmed her. Oh, if only more Christians could come to that understanding. The faith life is not trying to please God by our actions, even our great faith. It is just living by the principles of the Word that He has already provided. Salvation, peace, prosperity, success, health, joy, life in all its fullness and abundance has already been provided for us by our loving Heavenly Father. If that's so, then we don't need to try to obtain His blessing by winning His favor. We already have His favor, His grace. It was His grace which moved Him to do all this for us in the first place. All we need to do is just receive the blessing that accompanied His favor. Doesn't that make you feel good about where we are? Yes, we have work to do, but it's the work that brings us joy because of the love that we have in Him. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, I ask You to seal these words in our hearts. Father, that we can rest in the completed work of Calvary. And Father, oh, how we want to grow in knowledge and understanding, not so that we can gain any special place in Your sight, because we're already there. You have called us friends. We just want to know more about You so we can love You more and serve You more for the right reasons. God, thank You again for this time together. Seal the words in our heart, I pray. In Jesus' name, amen.